The AMC domain is actually available. You can get a hold of him. He can tell you how to get a copy of that data. They're large data sets, including, I guess, some variations on the original data set that they're using for the paper that's going to be presented Wednesday. The satellite domain is a little harder to come by, I guess. There's some restrictions on it and so on, so I'm not sure that that could be provided. Give me just a second, I'll get my... Is this yours?
No.
Yeah, I don't see it. Okay. I've got some changes in there. Okay, I want to, we'll be quick with this, but I did want to touch on some of the work that I've been involved in more recently, which is this reasoning over quality and utility in scheduling. And there's some interesting problems that we've had in the last couple of years. Basically, they contrast with the classical scheduling objectives of just meeting due dates and maximizing throughput, and that we have now quality-oriented considerations. So there have been these variants previously done on prioritized tasks. As we've been in all, and going back to 94, talk about scheduling and rescheduling with iterative repair, where they sort of produce schedules based on the accumulated quality, and there's also some simple task models out there. But this is really about evolution towards more complex reasoning over quality, where, for example, as you increase your service time on task, your quality goes up. So the longer you work on a task, the higher the quality you might accrue for it. There is some work along these lines, also in the design to time scheduling system, there's a system or approach called imprecise computation. There's a system called IRIS, and all of these address some aspect of optimizing over or maximizing quality over a schedule. Anytime scheduling is another recent work that was put out, which captures some of the same flavor of the idea of choosing, basically facing the same problem that Min was talking about, is that you've got this oversubscribed problem, you've got this large set of tasks, and you have this soft constraint in that sense that the particular goals or the particular tasks you're going to put on your schedule are for you to choose. You don't have to put them all, but you're trying to maximize this quality. And so we're going to face the same problem here. And in the examples I'm going to show you, we use some of the same, there's some synergy in the idea of relaxing the problem to make a guess at the best set of goals and then trying to go ahead and schedule those and moving on from there. So this last one here is the one I'm going to focus on out of these. And I'll point out some of the differences between the ones above, but it's this idea of incremental scheduling to maximize quality. And then subsequent to that, I'll touch briefly on some work that really is going to be the topic of the sister section to this later this afternoon, where they're going to talk about the distributed scheduling problem, where you're maximizing quality amongst a set of agents. But I can talk a little bit, address a little bit here about the sort of centralized solution to that and some of the stuff that's come out of it. So this first problem became known, at least by the group that was funding it as KIDS, standing for Knowledge Intensive Dynamic Systems, and they can be characterized by such things as the production and manipulation of knowledge. Now, this isn't the only sort of domain they apply to, but it's kind of a natural one. The product of knowledge is the driving goal, and it's the product is to maximize the quality of that knowledge. And the quality here, or the utility gain by executing activity, is a direct function of the amount of time that you spend on the activity. It could also be a function, for example, of the skill level of the person or the machine or whatever that's performing the task. And again, it's oversubscribed. There's more to be achieved than can be done with the available resources. And this is the key thing. The processes are unpredictable in their outcomes. They require continual dynamic adjustment and readjustment. So it's not a case of generating a static schedule and then seeing how it does. It's always adjusting the schedule. So a typical KIDS sort of problem would be large-scale, multi-actors in the system. Skill level, as I mentioned, can play a role in the planning and execution. For example, quality testing of large software systems. The confidence you have that a given part of the software system is doing what it's supposed to do is going to be almost directly related to the time spent on task. It will also depend on the skill of the tester or the verification expert. You have these delivery deadlines for software, and so you could always argue that I might get bigger payback if I push the deadline and spend more time on the task, producing a higher quality product, or not. You could also look at the planetary exploration problem a little bit, like the rover's domain that Min was talking about. Only here, if we look at the time spent by any given any one of the rovers on, say, sampling or some communications task, or the greater time spent driving to some target that may have this kind of payback, then that puts this additional level of complexity in choosing your goals, not just choosing the goals, but choosing how much time to spend on the goal, if we put it in planning speak. So these things heavily impact the scientific return of the mission. And again, the ongoing analysis causes you to reprioritize. I'm going to kind of speak to this level just because the surrogate domain we made for this problem, we couched it as a sort of news service domain in which the news reports produced contribute to the overall program quality. You could think of it as a newspaper, you could think of it as a broadcast. And so the time you spend on that task, gathering the news in production, broadcasting it, is going to be directly of a direct correspondence to the skill level of those doing that task and the time they spend on it. And it's certainly true that any time, given time in the world, there's more news events than there are resources that can report it, or that people that want to listen to it too, I suppose. So just briefly, we could look at it as these little quality profiles. As you spend time on task, your quality ramps up, and of course you could have different linear or piecewise continuous profiles. Other examples where this is relevant would be with telescopes and cameras, the time spent with a space telescope in a given section or a given target will improve the scientific return or the quality of the product produced. So let me suggest then for the little the results I will show what a background description of the domain might look like. In this case, each activity is going to have a priority with an earliest start time and a latest finish time, and we'll have skilled resources here. So the higher your skill level, the higher the degree of quality you can produce over a given unit of time. We have sequence-dependent setups here, and this is, in this case, viewed as the transition time for, let's say, a reporter to travel to a news event in order to begin reporting on that news event, and he has to reach there within some sort of window of newsworthiness, if you will. So it's no good to report on an earthquake 2 weeks after it's happened. You need to travel there and get your crew set up and so on to make that news report. Notice that the setup time here is a non-contributor to the quality. So if you travel 2 days or 2 hours, it's not going to change the quality of the product. So each of the activities here in this domain is going to require a single resource, and we somewhat arbitrarily choose to represent the quality in this manner. The quality is basically a product of the priority times the skill level times the duration spent on task. That's the quantity we're optimizing over, basically. Duration here, notice, is a free variable. There's a maximum duration, which is the window that you can do the task in, and we'll also enforce a minimum duration to get any quality. So in other words, you can't go and spend 1 second and get some quality. There'll be some sort of minimum duration on the task involved. So you could then calculate the quality for S-scheduled activities. It's basically the sum of these qualities. Where R here represents a particular resource. So it's kind of interesting to think of the representation challenges here. On the one hand, and this is a dynamic environment. I guess I failed to mention that. But new events are arriving all the time, as they would in a news reporting world. Events happen, and suddenly you need to get reporters out to cover this or that event. The same way with a telescope scheduling problem. I mean, new targets come up that have to be scheduled. And so you need to dynamically insert these activities into existing time schedule. And this argues for that flexible time scheduling I talked about earlier, where you basically have this float between your events, and you're more free to insert additional activities in there without perturbing or having to totally reschedule the entire timeline. And that as in contrast to a fixed time schedule where every activity has its point. And again, these resource conflicts are just avoided by sequencing these activities on the time. On the other hand, if you're going to maximize quality, it's by definition a fixed time schedule, because the only way to assess how long your quality is for a given task is to fix its point and then give it a duration and so on. So leaving duration flexible, in some sense, settles for lower quality than fully extending it. On the other hand, a higher quality solution can hide possibilities for better resource utilization. And so our basic approach to this is to actually use both representations in a schedule. We have kind of a dual model of here. We use the flexible time scheduling approach, which, by the way, has an underlying simple temporal network that we map the activities into and then just set the orderings as constraints within the temporal network. And this provides a visibility of options for inserting additional events and so on. Only the minimum duration on a quality accumulating activities are enforced within the temporal network. So we put the earliest start time along with the latest finish time and the setup times, but we only enforce the minimum duration for the purposes of the temporal network and the flexible times. We also maintain, though, a fixed time representation of each resource's schedule. That is, and we call it its quality timeline. And this designates start and end times for current sequence that will yield sequence optimal quality of the resource. this is sequence optimal in that given the order in which I'm going to put things on this timeline, here's the durations that will optimize the quality. It is not a global optimal in any sense. And this allows us to incrementally maintain the sequence optimal schedule as new activities come and go. So if we visualize this and we consider a single resource here and look at quality in this case, if I have a task here, I've shown a priority one with a start time and a finish time. I've got to do the setup for the task. I've got to, in this case, locate the reporter at the scene of the activity. And then I've got to do some minimal level of activity to get any quality. But from then on, I have this distance here in which to maximize my quality. So here I've shown that with nothing else on my schedule, I, of course, can then spend full time on the task. And I haven't considered here, this might be Ted Koppel, my highest quality reporter, or could be a rookie, but obviously if I only have one task, then I'll send Ted Koppel and maximize my quality. Modulo cost, of course, is a little more expensive than most. So once I introduce other activities, then notice that now this is a priority two task here, and based on my formula, this is a little counterintuitive here, but now higher priority numbers in this domain, because the way I calculate my formula, are have higher numbers. So priority one doesn't mean the highest, it would mean the lowest here. Priority five, I have five priority levels in this domain, would be the highest. So that argues why I actually want to cut into the time spent on A1 here, because A2, a higher priority task, has come in. And so it's worth it to cut short this reporting, travel to this site, and begin this reporting here. And once I do that, I spend maximum time at that location and ramp my quality up to its maximum there. And similarly now, if in comes a new news event that lies right in the middle of this, then I need to reason over this. And this turns out is even a higher priority task. So I'm going to need to retract here. If I'm optimizing my quality, I want to travel, maximize quality by getting to that location, maximizing the time on task there, and then traveling. Notice I don't accumulate any quality for the time I'm traveling again. And then finally, I finish up reporting on that task. This gives a little bit of the flavor of just the dynamics of how one would want to think about these sort of interleaved dynamically arriving activities. So here's a little overview of the approach we use. Given an agenda of activities to insert in the current schedule, we select an activity from an agenda using some heuristics I'll briefly cover. We schedule the activity, find the options, all available options, choose one from them, insert in the temporal network, insert in the quality timeline, and then return the selected. And then we'll loop over these each time the activity comes in. So one obvious thing is, well, how am I going to order my activities again for laying down the timeline? Now, I'm not going to backtrack over these. The problem is just too big to do so within the dynamics of the time. So here's just a little chart. We tried a number of different things. We tried, for example, random as compared to just ordering them by priority, and it turned out that actually ordering by a product of priority and their maximum duration within their time window produced the highest plan quality, given some other constraints on the plan. And these are just for different resource loadings. Here we had 80% of the resources loaded, and here 95%. And overall, what we call priority times max dir was marginally better, and so we chose that for the rest of this analysis. Then you have the idea of where to insert in as you're dropping these tasks into the existing schedule, where should you insert them? The cheapest thing is first slot. That, of course, doesn't even ensure the first slot on the resource timeline. That doesn't even ensure you're going to improve quality, because you might actually be robbing from a higher priority or a higher quality task to get this guy in. So you could look instead at the first gain slot, the first slot within the timeline in which you drop the activity and then provably increase your quality. You could also look at the best slots. Go over all the possible slots to put the new activity, this in this case task A2, and calculate the quality in each slot, and the best is obviously the best. There's a sort of a cheap one that may be a little bit intuitive. What about just minimizing the setup time? So choose the slot that for which the setup, in the case of the reporters, for which they have the least distance to travel from what they're doing now, and drop it in there. And don't think about quality at all. Just reason that maybe this is going to help the quality fall out. And we tried some others too. These ended up being the most promising. So let's see, what do we have here? This is looking at, this is just, I guess, demonstrating the quality for generation of insertion options. Let's see, I'm not sure I want to spend much time on this. Let's just look at some of the results that came out of that. So along the bottom are the different heuristics here. First slot, first gain, best quality, min setup, and some different resource loadings. And not, I guess, all that surprising, choosing the best quality slot. And the way we ran these problems, by the way, is we generated an initial set of reporting events out there. I believe it was 20 reporting events. And then we added in 10 dynamically arriving new ones over the course of the time window. And then the job of the scheduler was to drop these in and attempt to maximize quality. Min setup does pretty well, actually. It's fairly cheap heuristic to incorporate. And the relative quality over here, you can see that overall best quality and first gain tend to dominate. In runtime, min setup is much cheaper to do. These two were quite comparable, and since the best quality gave a slightly better quality, we actually tended to use it for most of the analysis. The runtimes for the size of the problems we had to do were not prohibitive at that time. So, I mean, it is entirely possible that for larger scale problem or so on, you couldn't afford to do this best quality heuristic. Let's see. So we already talked about this, the news event. I guess this is just giving some problem backgrounds for the participant things. We had 5 news event locations in this small domain, 3 reporters with random skill levels between 1 and 3 and random initial location. We had news events with uniformly distributed priorities between 1 and 5 and a minimum required quality of 1. This required corresponds to an hour minimum duration for the reporter of skill 1. We had a 10-day time horizon and 2 sets of oversubscribed problems with 10 problems in each set. So in the one case, we had 100 events corresponding to a 20% free time on the timelines and another 200 events. And then we had these 10 randomly generated new events that arrive at different times during that 10-day horizon. So the incremental scheduling strategies were simple insertion in an available slot on the resource timeline. We also looked at the idea, well, if you couldn't insert, what about bumping activities already on the resource timeline? It's actually a fairly expensive thing to do in this domain because you're recalculating the qualities each time with that linear assessment, assessing whether that slot then with this thing in there is higher or lower quality than without retracting it and then going to the next slot and doing the same thing. And you could also augment this approach with search for reinsertion of the bumped activity. So if you bump an activity out, you could then look and see, well, can I bump that thing back in somewhere? And that is even more expensive. And we compared this to just rescheduling from scratch. So at each time a new activity arrives, suppose I just totally reschedule my entire set of activities from scratch, which is costly also, obviously. So it's kind of interesting here, if we look at those strategies versus rescheduling. So The rescheduling is over here on the right. We're charting quality, and we're charting some of the different options we looked. Here we just insert an available slot. Here we insert or we bump. If we can't find an insertion place, we'll bump an activity. And here we insert or bump and try to reinsert the bumped activity. And you'll notice that these do pretty well, certainly relative to rescheduling from scratch, but they even better it in a number of instances. And this is in part because it's not an optimal solution. When we choose an ordering for laying these things down on the timeline when we reschedule, we don't backtrack over the ordering and try every possible set of solutions. Bumping turns out to be a fairly effective way of perturbing that search space, choosing some activity out of there to remove and get this higher quality activity in. And that's really, in some sense, not available in some circumstances to rescheduling from scratch. It's a little bit tricky. It's sort of counterintuitive that that would be the case, but we've found it in a number of examples. And then if we looked at runtime, not surprisingly, rescheduling from scratch is an order of magnitude or more, takes order of magnitude more longer than any of these other strategies. Let's see, I guess I won't dwell too much on this, except to say that here this problem, there's no optimal solver that we know of out there for this sort of thing, but we did try some stochastic search thing. This approach VBSS is basically a heuristic stochastic search that keeps, once it comes up with a solution, keeps trying different alternatives around that solution. I think we ran 10 times on each new activity that came in and looked at the quality that produced. And the greedy bumping quality with bumping actually outperformed it in a number of cases. And if we put the runtime on there, you can see that VBSS is not competitive at all. So let me just briefly go back to solution stability here, which I had mentioned in the first part of the talk. So we were interested in that. The client for this project was very interested in having a stable solution, and so we were sort of faced with the idea of quantifying stability on the task, and I've seen many different ways of doing this. What we ended up doing was basically characterizing it by this formula here, where we used a weighting factor, basically just a linear weighting factor on two quantities, the number of bumped activities, that is the number of activities as you move from schedule to schedule that were no longer on there, and the number of activities that transferred to a different resource. Now, what's not in this formula that I had in the earlier one, I think it was Larry's results on the AMC, was you could also look at the number of time shifts on a schedule, where an activity shifts in time. And for various reasons, we didn't find that to be very discriminating, didn't help to discriminate between the different approaches. We also added in here then the number of activities with duration changes. And notice that that's going to predominantly be this assessment of the how long you want to run each activity on task. And so I guess not too surprisingly, rescheduling from scratch is the least stable of the different approaches. Interestingly enough, inserting something in the schedule is perturbs it the least, but amongst the two insert or bump things, the one that actually reinserts the bumped activity ends up with giving you back a schedule that's more stable than just bumping out the activity and sticking in the new one. And these are, again, for two different resource loadings. So here's just some related work in this area. Other people have looked at. One of the things I'd call attention to particularly is this operations research. This is this idea of time-cost trade-off in problems is an age-old problem in the OR community. There's a significant difference is that, in general, they're looking at infinite capacity resources. And that could be considered, I guess, an infinite capacity variation of the kids problem. And I won't say too much more about the rest of those. None of these studies above here are generally concerned with optimizing the quality. Okay, so the last thing I'd like to touch on is in reference to the an HDN model of quality accumulation, and this is going to be dwelt on in more detail from sort of a multi-agent distributed scheduling approach in the afternoon session. What I'd like to talk about here, though, is just this little bit of idea of how you might introduce more sophisticated models of quality into these sorts of scheduling problems. So the systems that we've been working on are sort of rooted in these TEMS and CTEMS languages for expressing quality relationships amongst tasks. And it's an HTN model, basically, of it, of the quality, as I'll show you in a minute here. But basically, the overall target of these systems is for this collaborative distributed management of these plans and schedules. It's a key point that the agents here must keep time with execution. So you've got real-time activities going on out there, and the agents must respond to them and collectively maximize quality over these activities that are coming in. As these new activities come in, each agent has a subjective view of the world. It doesn't get to see everything. There is no one agent that knows everything about the problem. As new activities come in, this or that agent knows about them as they need to know. Other agents don't. And so they have all the full range of constraints here, deadlines, release times, soft constraints with activities that facilitate another activity or hinder another activity, activities that enable an activity. It's a very uncertain execution environment. As activities execute, they may take longer or shorter than expected. The agents only get a distribution at the start of the problem, so they know a distribution of possible durations, but beyond that. And again, the objective is to maximize quality here. So in the HTN representation here, as we're going to see, the methods or the activities at the bottom of the tree are the primitive process steps. These are the only things that can be executed by an agent. And they have associated duration and outcome quality distributions. Let's see, we're going to look at these QAF types, quality accumulation types. And again, the methods can have start and end times constraints, and they can have these what we call non-local effects. These are basically the precedence constraints between the activities. The hard constraints are the enables constraints. We also have disables. So an activity A may enable activity B. Activity B cannot be executed without activity A having been executed prior to it. If A disables B, then if A occurs prior to the start of B, B will be disabled and gets no quality. And then similar, there's these two other soft constraints in here called facilitates and hinders, which basically boost or degrade quality based on. It's interesting to think about these. Well, I guess we can look at the next one after this. There's a bunch of different approaches that have been used out there. The coordinators program basically involved three teams, competing teams, setting up agents to do this kind of scheduling. I'm not going to dwell on the distributed part, but I will talk about, say, how one might solve it as a centralized solution and leave the rest for this afternoon. This is our work basically. I'll give you a little overview of that, but there are these other approaches. Honeywell's approach basically used the Markov decision process to model this sort of thing. ISI's approach used a sort of a partial centralization of the scheduling problem, where one agent got to see more of the problem at a given point in time and come up with solutions for some of the other agents, or partially come up with solutions. Nope, right up there. Okay. So let's see. These are just looking at different quality accumulation functions here, but let's just look at the overview one. So this is what a task structure would look like in the CTEMS model here. So these tasks, notice, have accumulation functions on here. So this would say that the quality for the TG task would be the sum of its children qualities. Down here at the bottom, the max task, the agent would get whatever the greater quality of these two methods that was executed, whichever one is a greater quality, that's what you would get. So it would actually behoove you, if these, I'm using colors to represent different agents here, or resources, these are unit capacity resources, if M3 is a higher quality than M4, then don't execute both, because you're only going to get quality for one. So here I'll show some of the quality and distributions, duration distributions underneath these. Also, we have these constraints. Here's a hard constraint, here's a soft constraint. And I'd just like to say that, keep in mind that these qualities and durations are just stand-ins for actual distributions. So the quality here is 25% chance of getting 12, 50% chance of getting 17, 25, 22. So, I mean, that's basically what a small centralized problem would look like. Now, in the approach we use, we basically do this kind of idea of, we need to choose goals to achieve because it's an oversubscribed thing. So we need to select amongst these methods along the bottom which ones we're going to take to maximize quality. We do this via quality propagation up through these quality accumulation functions to determine what, in a relaxed sense, what would be the best quality we could achieve. So what we do is, by propagating these up, notice here we have a list, you probably can't see this on this slide, but it says M1, M2, M3, and M4 would produce the highest quality. But it has no sense of any resource constraints. It hasn't tried to schedule these. It doesn't know whether it could actually schedule them. It's a relaxed solution. And so the very next thing that would happen is, having selected a set of things to schedule, we would actually try to schedule them. And if we hit a conflict where M1, M2, M3, M4 can't get on, then we remove M4 and go back and re-trigger quality propagation again and come up with the next best set of things to schedule. And so and that's basically showing that. And this is just a little single agent view of the same thing. So here, if I were just the yellow agent, this is the kind of thing I'd be facing. I've got my quality propagation, where I bring up my best quality over these functions here, and I end up with a top level of things. I have my agenda of things to schedule then. I try to schedule them, and turns out M3 won't fit. So I now remove that from contention, and I repropagate. And notice now there's nothing for me to schedule under here. So this side, this is an AND node. We didn't go into that, but this is an AND node. And since I can't get this side of the AND node, this becomes the best branch over here to schedule to maximize quality. And then I go and reschedule these. Now, one thing that happened here is that M1 actually went back on in order to get M11, M12, and that's because it's an enabler for M11. So it was needed. Even though it doesn't contribute to quality, it has to be scheduled. And so here's the results of where we compare it against an optimal solution. These are very small problems here, because those are the only ones they could produce optimals on. This particular solution, I believe, is an MDP approach JPL worked up. And it's surprising how close the incremental scheduling approach comes to the optimals here. I mean, overall, they're within, they achieve 98% of the optimal on these problems. Again, 2,500 instances, just 3 to 10 agents, 50 to 100 methods. And I mean, one idea to get idea for scaling, we're in year 3 of this now, and we're at, for year 3 of this coordinators program, they're at 100 agents now and 10,000 methods in here. There's no way to produce the optimals for comparison at this point. But We think we've got something that's scaling pretty well. I'm not going to go into this. It's the idea of learning scheduling preferences. There is work going on in this. Just I guess you can take that away. The radar project is basically an assistant that a calendaring assistant that learns as the user schedules his calendar and so on. It learns his preferences for windows and times in which to schedule things, and then as negotiation with other users goes on, gradually it can do a lot of the scheduling for the user himself. And final slide is that I just wanted to mention this. It really is this rapidly changing landscape for both scheduling and planning. And in some ways we haven't really said too much about, but these sensing technologies that are out there now, things like these RFID tags and GPS for locations and so on, they really allow us to do this real-time collection of data and act, you know, continually reincorporating that in our plans and schedules. And so the technologies that can take advantage of this and can do this sort of ongoing modification of your schedule and planner, I think are going to become increasingly important. And all this, of course, is heavily involved in this idea of oversubscription and soft constraints to maximize the gain out of your schedule or quality. And that's it. We ran a little bit over it. I apologize for that. Is there... Right. Thank you. Anything? I believe there's some websites on your handout and stuff. I guess we didn't put our websites up there, but a lot of this work can be found there. Do you have one? Yeah, everybody's going to be there. Well, I guess originally because we were going to be this sort of sister.
Yeah, but why didn't we go on? No, no.